Hallelujah. How's everybody today? Blessed and highly favored. Well, Lord, we ask for your blessings and protection on all those who are doing outreaches today. Hallelujah. God is good all the time. Amen. It's a new season. It's a new season of power and love, prosperity. It's a new season, but it takes cooperation. Amen? It takes cooperation. That's why so many times when we're asking something from the Lord, he says, are you willing to do whatever it takes? Well, Lord, what about? He says, yes, what about? What about you getting in line? What about you following me? What about you trusting me? What about you giving me your life? No, not just when you are in trouble or when you feel like it or when there's a need. How about giving me your life forever? Amen. How about giving your life forever? In other words, this is a commitment. Amen. This is not a one-night stand or a date with Jesus. This is a marriage. So when we say, Lord, I give you my life, he takes it serious. You know, so many times people don't take it seriously. Oh, Lord, I give you my life. Yeah, okay. Now give me what I need. And that's not how God is. And again, it goes, I always have to go back to my encounter with the Lord. And before I was set free and the Lord gave me the choice. He said, you know, do you want to get off of drugs and alcohol or you do want a new life? And I realized wanting just to get off of drugs and alcohol didn't work because I tried it. I tried everything, gurus, religions, tried different relationships, tried different locations, tried different friends, tried different states, even tried different countries occasionally, but that didn't work either. So I said, you know, and I knew what he meant when he said, do you want a new life? It meant that everything of my life was going to be severed. See, if everything in my life isn't severed, then I can't get a new life. So he asked me, here was the question, are you willing to walk away from your life to step into mine? That's what new life is. It's not a yes today and a little bit or maybe just 1 foot or maybe I'll give you a little part of my heart. No, he says, I want all of you. This is where we become unplugged from the world and plugged in to the life of God. It always reminds me of the umbilical cord that we are born with. We come into this world, they cut us loose from the mother. Because at that period of time, that's where we were, our life was sustained through the umbilical cord as a child in a mother's womb. And then when we were pulled from the mother, the umbilical cord gets cut. But we're still attached to this world. Our life now is of this world. It's living in this world is a life of deception. So when the Lord gives us an opportunity to get a new life, what we're saying is, okay, I'm unplugging from the world and I'm plugging in to the life of Christ. In other words, now my life no longer exists or can be sustained from the world. My life is sustained through the life of Christ. So my desire now is to be in his presence because his presence was what exchanges everything for me. His presence exchanges my feelings and desires for the world for the feelings that come from him of peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. My life is exchanged in his presence of desires and will, promises, and covenant. Everything is exchanged. Now there's no longer a life of deception. There's a life of truth and a life of freedom because deception brings bondage. And the life of Christ and truth brings freedom. But many times people have started to walk in that life and have unplugged themselves through Christ of the world, plugged themselves into Christ, but began to unplug themselves back into the world and still call themselves Christians. Still doing the same old thing of the world and calling himself a Christian. See, Christ-like is not of the world. We are no longer temporary beings. We are eternal beings. It's different. So if you are calling yourself a Christian and you're still of the world, you are dying because you're still living a life again of deception. There's only one way to maintain life that's been given to you, and that is to plug into life, not into death. In the book of Revelation in chapter 1, would you go there with me? Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5. Is everybody there? And it says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and what? Washed us from our sins in his blood. Now he's going to explain the tabernacle of God. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And here in the book of Revelation, the outer court is where you are washed with the blood through the sacrifice. This is where you repent for your sins and you step into the outer court. He says, and to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we have here that we are washed with his blood and we are called to be priests and kings. A priest is the second chamber of the tabernacle. It is called priesthood. The third chamber of the tabernacle is called kingship. So God is expressing right here, he says, listen, you have been washed by the blood of the Lamb when you repented. So I can tell you today that if you've not repented for your sins, you're carrying sin. What do you mean? I didn't sin. Oh, you did. Your thoughts, your words, your deeds, every one of us sins every single day. We are sinners. But we repent to be washed by the blood. Well, see, the religious try to tell you, well, you repented once, that's enough. No, that's not true. Every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning. Why is his mercies new every morning? Because yesterday's gone. What you did yesterday is waiting for you today. Hello? And what we do today is waiting for us tomorrow. But every day is a new day. You know, sometimes people wait till they go to eat. Oh, Lord, forgive me of my sins and bless the food. At least there's some repentance there. But see, without prayer, there's no victory. If you're not making time to pray, there's no victory. Because God says, submit to God and resist the devil. Without submitting to God, first thing, you cannot resist the devil. You will be easily deceived. You will proclaim to be a Christian, but you'll live a life of deception. You'll still by go how you feel, what you think, and what you see. Instead of being led by the Spirit, you'll still be led by the flesh, the world, the demonic forces, and easily deceived. That's a life of deception. Again, when you and I are unplugged from the world, we're to be plugged into Christ and stay plugged in. We're to be advancing from the outer court to the holy place, to the most holy place. That's where life is at. It's in the tabernacle. Anything out of the tabernacle is not life. It's deception. So we can't proclaim to be a Christian and still be plugged into the world. God doesn't look at us in that way. In fact, what did he tell the disciples when Jesus came up on the scene? He said, follow me. See, the word believe means to follow. It's not some magical thing. I believe. Okay. See, grace is not a magical thing either. I've been saved by grace. Grace is God's plan to escape. If you're not following the plan, you're not under grace. This is all talk doctrine by the doctrines of demons that proclaim a part of truth, but there's deception covering it completely. So when you eat that seed of deception, even though it may say truth on the outside, it's not truth. These are doctrines of demons. Seducing, deceiving spirits. And the Bible tells us that many will fall in the latter days because of these. Again, I want to explain to you by the Spirit that when Jesus says you're saved by grace, grace is God's plan to escape. That's why the word believe means to follow. If you're not following and call yourself a Christian, you're a liar and you're living a life of deception. Is everybody okay? You came to hear the truth, right? So he says here, very powerful, look at this. And so we were washed by the blood of the Lamb, the outer court, And you and I are made to be priests and kings, the holy place and the most holy place. These are the three chambers of the tabernacle. Look at, the Lord came. This is called, I'm going to talk about a blood factor today. So Jesus came, right? God came into the natural realm, not as an angel. Hello? But God came as the eternal presence, power, and truth, as the creator, God himself, God Almighty, in the chamber of a human DNA woman, amen, and became the fullness of a God-man to change the course of his creation. He came to change the course of his creation from a life of deception, the curse of death, and the contamination of the bloodline. God came here to manufacture his own blood. Is everybody okay? Now, what God creates, he puts his seal and approval on. In other words, what God creates, he anoints. When God approves of something, it's anointed. It carries his presence. When God created Adam and Eve, they carried his presence and his glory. They were in their garden. They had eternal life. They didn't need any blood because the life of their body was in the spirit. When they fell, and when the serpent deceived Eve to get her into his fallen state of being, and they all fell, God had to produce blood for them because they no longer had a life in the spirit realm of eternal life. They had a temporary life. So God produced blood in Adam and Eve. Now we know that the blood became contaminated. The Bible says when a man leaves his family or a woman leaves her family and they become husband and wife, they become one flesh. So when somebody becomes one flesh with someone, all the curses of whom they had sex with comes down onto them. And it must be broke by the word, your words. Now some of you who are new here and so forth haven't heard many of the teachings, but in the book of Genesis, Seth, the Bible says that Seth was the first one created in Adam's image. So that means that Cain and Abel were the offsprings of the serpent. You mean serpent had sex with Eve? Yes. So in this, we see that there was contamination in the blood. Does everybody got it? And in this contamination, so God, who created Adam and anointed Adam and Eve with his approval, remember when he says, and it is good, and on the seventh day, God said everything was good, and he rested. And when he said it's good, it's got his approval. But what the enemy does, he takes what God's approved of and what has been known as pure and with God's presence and uses it in another way to contaminate, to use for the enemy's evil. And it's still going on. So people wonder, why are things still happening? Because what God has approved, there's still an anointing on it, but it's been misused. People can use God's laws and be blessed. Does everybody understand that? There are people out there getting wealthy. Why? Because they're sowing. They're tithing. It's amazing how many believers don't even tithe. But yet some of the unbelievers are tithing. So in this, what God has approved of, the enemy's going to try to contaminate. That's his job. Is everybody okay? Now, you know, so when God approves of something, his anointing is on it. His presence is on it. His seal of approval is on it. That's why God had to come and create his own blood to wash me and you, because it was approved. See, it was taking everything that has been contaminated in a worldly way, washed us with the blood in the physical and the spiritual, so that we can restore to eternal beings and not temporary ones. So the anointing of God's seal was on the blood, physically and spiritually. Now, it's really strange here because we have actually eight types of blood besides the animal blood. We have A, we have B, we have AB, and we have O. And then we have positive and negative of each one. Those are our factors. And our factor was discovered in 1940. It's an antigen, and it's actually a protein that's on the surface of blood. I can't get real into it because I'm no doctor or scientist or whatever. But there's a difference between an Rh positive and an Rh negative blood. And it's pretty amazing that there's only about 16% of population that carries a negative blood. The rest carry about a positive blood. And in this, when a woman, if a woman who is pregnant and her blood is negative and the baby's blood is positive, her blood begins to build antibodies to try to kill the baby. Now, is that wild? You know, I remember when I got married at the age of 17. When I went to go get my license, it was required that we got blood tests. I don't even hear of that anymore. I guess they really don't care no more, because the ruler of Satan's kingdom is infiltrated everywhere, and it just doesn't matter. And I don't know why they took the blood test. I was 17 years old. I didn't care about no blood test. I just wanted to get married, you know. Of course, my girlfriend was pregnant then, and I wanted her to do the right thing. It didn't last very long, even though I wanted to do the right thing. I was married 3 years and then divorced and so forth. But I see now people getting married, and there's no blood test. Even when I got married with my wife now, almost together 30 years, they never required a blood test from us. But when I was 17, they required a blood test for your marriage license. And I was like, man, I don't know why, you know. And I'm just wondering if they were looking at, because it was, if in preparation, because they have offspring. That's where a lot of problems come. That's where most miscarriages come, because the woman is negative blood who carries, and having a positive blood baby, it builds antibodies to kill the fetus. Now, we know that God didn't create something like that, did he? He wouldn't create that. That means somehow it became contaminated. Does everybody understand that? And I really believe that it became contaminated according to Genesis 6, if you'll turn there. In verse 1, it says, "Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God were known as angels, saw the daughters of men, that they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves to all whom they chose." In other words, these angels, according to the book of Enoch, which was about 200 of them, put on flesh, came into the natural realm, and began to take on women. So they had to produce some sort of blood. Does everybody got it? And these offspring, so these offspring were called Nephilims, which were known as giants and so forth. And after periods of time, you know, that's why God killed the whole earth, and only Noah and his family survived. And then one of the offsprings of the Nephilim was one of the women that Adam's son married, Ham married. And so we see it continued on. And so we still have Nephilim to this day that are here in the world. Changed genetics, changed the chromosomes and everything else. So everybody's blood is contaminated. I really believe we're all a bunch of mutants. That's why Jesus had to come and rescue us. Everybody's got some kind of character change because of the interbreeding and everything else. And so it says here, and the Lord said, "My spirit," in verse 3, "shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. And there were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, and the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them, and those were mighty men who were of old, and men of renown," and so forth. And this is where you get a lot of mystical things of the Zeus and whatever, because they were actually Nephilims. And at that time, that's where we get all of the stuff with aliens and whatever. These are demons with technology. In fact, you're going to find that many individuals who proclaimed to have been abducted were women of negative blood, because they have technology now that they're trying to do things by genetic change. You got to remember that the Lord said in Genesis that there would be a battle between your seed and his seed. The purpose of Lucifer was being removed from the throne room of God is because of his rebellion. He was cast to the earth and his angels with him in the atmosphere. So he's been trying to produce his own nation, his own race. He hates God and he hates me and you, and his kingdom hates us. So we have the fallen angels that are principalities and powers of darkness. We have the angels that put on flesh that are now in what we call Tartarus, waiting for judgment. And now we have those Nephilim offsprings, which are his children, Satan's children, through the Nephilim. And it's gone down the family line. So the blood has been contaminated. And because of the blood being contaminated, we see now an area which has been going on for a while about negative and positive blood. Or we'd all have the same blood. Amen? In fact, O negative blood can give blood, but can only receive from its own. That's the only one. Anyone with O negative blood cannot receive any other blood than its own. And they believe that the offspring of the Nephilim were associated with negative blood. In fact, the shroud that Jesus was supposedly wrapped up with and whatever, they found that that was negative blood. But again, it's really got nothing to do about negative or positive blood for me and you anymore. They're still interested in it because they want to do a genetic change. But you and I, we're not concerned about that because we walk in an eternal blood and it's different. I don't care if you're negative, positive, or both. That's not our concern because we're not in according to the worldly ways. We don't live according to, we're not plugged in to the life of deception anymore. We're plugged into an eternal life. We are eternalites, not humanites. Amen? But Satan's kingdom wants to rule the flesh. He wants to rule the world. Is everybody okay? In Leviticus 17:10, the blood factor. And if you didn't receive a reality series DVD, hopefully we have some here today and you can get one. And I encourage you to watch it. Leviticus chapter 17 and verse 10. Is everybody there? Ooh, nice. Well, let's read it together. For whatever man of the house of Israel or of the strangers who dwell among you who eats any blood, I will set my face against that person who eats blood and will cut him off from among his people. For the what? The life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that makes atonement for the soul. So Jesus came in, produced his own blood, and what happened? He was crucified. And his blood, before he hung on the cross, he was whipped. And that's what we call by his stripes that he was whipped, were healed. So every disease he was whipped with, and he bore it on his body. That's why we can decree that by his stripes we are healed. Why? Because the blood washed the disease away. Where's disease? In the blood. See, but God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And it is the ministry of the Spirit, so we must speak these things. We don't think the powers of darkness away. We speak them away. Because there's life and death in the power of the tongue. So many people go, oh, God, please, I need healing. He says, well, are you going to decree it? What's my healing scripture? What's my word that says healing? Oh, God, you said you would heal me. Yes, well, speak it. Okay, by your stripes I'm healed. Okay, let's work on it now. Let's get it going. See, he's waiting on us to confirm what he said. Has everybody got it? Because he carries the eternal words, not me and you. We carry him in his word, in his spirit in us, by partaking in the word. If you're a believer and don't read the Bible, well, you're in trouble. How are you going to know the truth? Well, I go to church and I listen to the pastor. You will forget, because notes don't forget. Amen? Hallelujah. So, life of the flesh is in the blood. So our blood has been contaminated. God had to create his own blood so that you and I could be set free from the inherited contamination. It's called curse. It's called a what? Curse. Go to Deuteronomy 23. One of the things that God's desire was to turn our curses to a blessing. Look at 5. Verse 5, nevertheless, the Lord your God will not listen to Balaam, but the Lord your God turned the curse into a blessing for you, because the Lord your God, what? Loves you. So what he does is he wants to turn the curse that's been in our blood into a what? Blessing. Does everybody see that? He wants to turn the life, look, you were born in a curse. Isn't the earth cursed? Everything's cursed in this realm. Why? Because the cursor, not the computer cursor, the master cursor. People think computers so much these days. Technology ruling people so much. But things that are cursed, God cursed the earth, he said, for our sake. The master cursor is Lucifer, who brought a curse on and a curse on to the angels and everyone that was removed from the heavenlies and into this realm. And you and I were born in darkness and born with a curse. Why? Because you're going to die. That's called cursed, the curse of death. But because we are born again of the Spirit, now we are severed from the curse of the death, and we are blessed with eternal life. Amen? Go to Ezekiel 16. Is everybody okay? Blood factor. Ezekiel 16, starting at verse 1. Again, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, cause Jerusalem to know their abominations, and say, Thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, Your birth and your nativity are from the land of Canaan. Now, the land of Canaan was inhabited by Nephilim. There were giants, offsprings. And your father was an Amorite, and those were a tribe of Nephilim. And your mother Hittite, those were tribes of Nephilim. Not only giants, and not every single one of them was a giant, remember, because of the interbreeding. That's why the Lord said, look at, he told his children, do not interbreed with any nation. And when you go in to take the land, don't take them for your wives. But they disobeyed, and they contaminated their blood. In verse 4, and as for your nativity, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut. Your what? Umbilical cord. Nor were you washed in water to cleanse you. You were not wrapped, you were not rubbed with salt, nor wrapped in swaddling clothes. No eye pitied you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. But you were thrown out into the open field when you yourself were lost on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you struggling in your what? Own blood, I said to you, in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you, in your blood, live. So what was he going to do? He was going to bring life into that blood, but not the curse. He was going to turn that curse to a blessing. Does everybody understand that? But he said, I saw you struggle in your blood because of the blood factor, the curse in the blood. The interbreeding from the serpent with Eve all the way down. You know, God has always been trying to purify the bloodline again. That's why Jesus had to come. Because they disobeyed and interbred, and it became more contaminated. Chromosomes changed. You know, one of the things that we find that at that period of time, there was, you know, the only way for things to multiply in that time is they would interbreed with one another. But once that was done and the law was put into effect, it was no longer a blessing. It was a curse. So we now have children that have been brought forth with neural problems, neurological problems, and deformities and so forth because of the blood. That could be involved of incest. It could be involved with just a certain curse because nobody took care of the negative blood in the woman with a positive baby. Now they give a woman a shot when she's so many months pregnant or so many weeks pregnant or days pregnant, whatever it is, so to counteract so that her negative blood won't kill the fetus of a positive baby. But we've got to step back a little bit and think, my gosh, do we ever talk about this? Where was that? You know, it's really not spoken about. My wife was a nurse, and I never found out until now. And I'm telling her about it. She goes, yeah, I know. I'm thinking, whoa, don't you think this is an important factor? Something ain't right here, man. Something's not right. If you're pregnant, you're going to have a baby, and you got to have something to counteract so that your own blood don't kill it. Something's wrong. There's been something going on way long ago that's still manifesting. And because of our technology and so forth, they have found us out. And so they're able to counteract this, and children are being born healthier. Hello? In Ephesians chapter 2. And I want to share something that, you know, maybe I don't want to get too far out there, but I want you to know that our ruling government knows these things. They know about extraterrestrial, what they call extraterrestrial, which are actually demons with technology. They've known about them for years. They know all about things. We have all kinds of things that are going on that people just don't know about. But more and more things are becoming more and more exposed because time is running out. Amen? In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 1, would you read it with me? And you, he what? Made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of what? Disobedience. So even our air is contaminated. What's it producing? Death. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And grace, again, is a plan, isn't it? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. So it's not of our own works. God has already given you the plan for escape. Whether you choose to accept it is up to you. In verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Therefore, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being what? Aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ. In Malachi chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Malachi. Now, in this area where God has taken our curse and blessed us, right? Because of our cooperation and obedience, we receive the blessing. Because of we're following. Remember, to believe means to follow. So if I'm following the Lord, I'm being blessed. I'm staying on course. But once we begin to remove off course, what our blessing can is become a curse. In Malachi chapter 2, he says, now, O priests, aren't we called to be priests and king? Amen. This commandment is for you. If you will not hear, if you will not take it to what? Heart. To give glory to my name, says the Lord of hosts, I will send a curse upon you, and I will curse your what? Blessings. Oh. Yes, I have cursed them already because you did not take it to heart. Again, there are people who really don't take it to heart. Yeah, I'm a Christian. Oh, really? Yeah, I gave my life to Jesus. I just don't follow. Well, I still have my own beliefs. Well, I don't really believe in the Bible. Well, you're an idiot. Ignorantly blind. Because to follow is to believe. And to believe is to follow. And what you have as a blessing will turn to a curse because you will go off course. If you're not willing to really take this to heart and say, listen, I've given my life to Christ, and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to maintain that. I'm unplugged from the world. I'm plugged into Christ. I live from the throne room of God, not from the throne room of hell. I've taken that umbilical cord that used to provide for me in my mother's womb and plugged it in to the eternal life of Christ. To one day, my natural realm, that umbilical cord will be completely severed from me, but I'm connected to the eternal, and that's where I'm going. But if I'm disconnected, I'm not going there. But I've been a believer for 20 years. Did you follow for 20 years? Oh, I believe once saved, always saved. Well, you're an idiot too. Far be it that you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and go out and serve the devil and expect to go home. That's plumb stupid. That's the doctrine of demons. But he knows my heart. Yes, didn't he just tell you to take it to heart? Yes, he knows your heart. And he said, take it to heart. When you give me your life, give it to me. Quit taking it back. Get out of the outer court and get into the holy place and become a priest. Learn the ways, be filled with my spirit, and then get into the most holy place and become a warrior that you can go out and rescue the rest that are out there and deceive that we were once like. Instead of living a life of deception, live a life of life in Christ, an eternal life. Unplug yourself from the world and get into the most holy and the holiest of holies. And live that life of truth. Live that life of peace, not that life of lust. See, in God's presence, lust gets exchanged for love. Fear gets exchanged for boldness. You're no longer fearful. You're bold. Say what, homie? I'll cast that devil out of you. Sometimes you got to slap the hell of someone to make room for heaven. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Aren't you glad we're not religious? Amen. There's a woman with boldness. No fear. Hallelujah. Hebrews 10. Hebrew. Is everybody okay? Hebrews 10 and verse 15. The blood factor. But the Holy Spirit also witnessed to us, for after he said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws in their what? Heart. See, when you take it to heart, you already know what's right. You know what's wrong. We try to make excuses and justify and reason. But we get into the but ministry. Jesus said, don't be the tail, we're the head, right? He said, I'll put my laws in their hearts and in their minds I will write them. Then he adds, and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. When you what? Repent, and the blood of Christ is manifested. It comes by your words of repentance. Now where there is remission of sin, there no longer a need offering for sacrifice. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the what? Holiest, yahoo, warrior position. The holiest by the blood, by the blood, by the blood, by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which he consecrated for who? Us. Through the veil that is his flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. In other words, you're taking it to heart. In full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? Faithful. In 1 John chapter 1. I encourage you, you can do more research on the internet, but be careful of the internet. There's a lot of new age garbage there trying to remove people from believing in the Bible. Trying to remove people from the true reality of the blood of Christ. Trying to remove Christ. Trying to promote gods and goddesses and all this other garbage. You got to be careful. You'll find maybe a little bit of truth, then the rest of it is covered with lies and deception to remove people away. And it's happening. The Lord said, in the last days, many will fall from the faith, taking heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It is happening. There was a town in Oklahoma, is that it? Oklahoma, where they're freaking out there. Their kids are becoming demonized, manifesting like crazy. They're calling in priests who don't know a stinking thing about casting out a devil. They're holding up the cross, holding up the Bible, and the devil's kicking their butt. They don't know the power of Christ in the name of the power of God Almighty. Because the Bible says, those who believe in me, who follow me, these signs will follow. The first thing it says in Mark 16:16. Through 18, and they, in my name, will cast out devils. Hello, that's number one. That's the first thing. That's the first thing. And then it says, and then they will speak with new tongues. That's because they're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and they're backed by the power of God in all of heaven. They're unplugged from the world and plugged in the eternal realm. And they're walking in truth, power of the Spirit of God Almighty. Their life is in the presence of God. They love God's presence. They fight for God's presence because they know that's home. That's home. We don't fight for the presence of this world. It's got nothing. This world can give me nothing but a headache. I got to lay my hands on my own self just to get healed of that headache. Hallelujah. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 6, would you read it with me? He who says he abides in him ought to himself also to what? Oh, man, where y'all at? Come on, get in the spirit. 1 John chapter 2. Oh, I'm sorry. I say chapter 1. I meant it. Chapter 1. I was reading the wrong chapter. Where you been? 1 John 1. Woohoo! Yep. 1 John chapter 1. Is everybody there? Verse 6. Can we read this together now? Okay. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we what? Lie. Come on, let's say that again. So everybody gets it. Everybody out in internet land and everywhere else. Come on, say it again, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him. Hi, I'm a believer. Yeah, man, I'm down. Oh, I'm down on the bars, too. Oh, wait a minute. Then you ain't walking right, homie. If we say that we have fellowship with Jesus Christ and walk in darkness. Let me tell you, that's why bars are known as darkness. They say food and demons. Actually, they say food and spirits. But they should just say demons and make it real. That's why when you turn the light on, everybody looks possessed. They are. They're drinking a cup of demons. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie. So if you say you're a Christian and you ain't following, you lie. And do not practice the truth. So that means you got to practice. The only way to practice the truth is if you're following, right? If you're practicing the truth, you're following. If you're following, you're practicing the truth. If you're not following, you're not practicing the truth. And you're a liar. That's the eyes of God. Verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. In other words, if I am walking according to grace, when I make a mistake, I'm covered. I'm his. I'm bought. Sold out. Why? Because I take it serious of my walk. I take it to heart. I truly have given my life to him, and without him, there is no life. That's a believer. 1 John 5. Almost there. In verse 5, it says, who is he who overcomes the world, but he who what? Believes. What's believe mean? To follow. Who is he who overcomes the world, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he who came by what? Water and blood. Jesus Christ, not only by water, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is what? Truth. The Spirit is what? Truth. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, yeah. The blood factor. Oh, there's power in the blood. The demons hate the blood of Christ. They love the blood of flesh. That's why you see all these witchcraft religions and so forth. They're always biting off something's head. They're offering, drinking the blood. They can't live on drinking the blood. They'll die. But they do a ritual of the blood. They'll take a sip of the blood and so forth, you know, all the foolishness. But demons love human blood. That's what keeps them here. That's why there's always sacrificing. The life of the blood is in the flesh, demonic arena, the Nephilim offsprings and children and so forth that are here right now in the flesh among us, maintain sacrifices to maintain their position. They must constantly sacrifice. We have a teaching called Life in the Flesh. It'll explain everything to you. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 1. Therefore, laying aside what? All what? Malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious, coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but being chosen by God and precious, you also are living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. We are a royal priesthood, second chamber. Why? Because we are plugged into the eternal. We're not in the outer court. We're in the holy place, always advancing into the most holy place. But I'm telling you, the enemy wants to get you into the outer court, to get you turned around to plug into the outer darkness. Call yourself a believer while you're living a life of deception. Revelation 17. Hallelujah. In Revelation 17, In verse 1, then one of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked with me, saying to me, come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants on the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in the purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery Babylon, the great mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. I saw the woman drunk with the what? Blood of the saints. In other words, they want to eat you up. They survive by murder and sacrifice of humans, especially saints. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. But the angel said to me, why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. So we see here, and I'm not going to get into all of this. It's a whole nother teaching. But I just want you to know that the harlot woman is associated with Satan's kingdom. And in that, their purpose in survival in the flesh in the natural realm is by committing sacrifice and bloodshed. One day the Lord took me and I stood up off the earth and he said to me, how much blood do you see going? And I saw blood flow everywhere. He said, from war, from abortion, from murder, from sacrifice, from ritual sacrifices, and blood was constantly being shed. That's what allows the powers of darkness to rule this world. But God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That's why we don't vote for anyone that promotes abortion. I don't care who he is, what color he is, what nationality he is, or whether it's a she. We don't put anybody, we do not vote for anyone that promotes abortion. No one. Or the blood is on your hands. And I'm going to close at Revelation 12. Hallelujah. Is everybody okay? Revelation 12:7. Let's read it together. And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon and his angels fought. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, the serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. So where are they now? Hello. Yeah. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ has come. For the accuser of our brethren who accused them before our God day and night has been cast down. Verse 11. And they what? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to what? Death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and the sea, for the devil has come down to you, knowing, having great wrath, because he knows that his time is short. That's why everything is being exposed. There's no more hiding. They're coming right out. They're showing their insignias. Just to give you an idea, the pyramid insignia means that they're a citizen of Satan's kingdom. Does everybody understand? They have insignias. The horn insignia, and so means that they are a servant of him. Listen, if Satan's the ruler of this earth, he rules all technology, all music, everything. People have sold out their souls for fame and fortune. And if you go to eternallibrary.org, eternallibrary.org, you can watch on there. It's called Reality DV, and it explains a lot of that. There are over 800 or 900 teachings on that website. It's free to watch and learn. I encourage you. Don't be deceived, don't be misled, and don't be sucked in of a life of deception. Get plugged into the eternal life of truth. Amen? Father, we love you. We thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And we ask the seed that's been imparted in each and every one of us today be protected by the blood of the Lamb and grow and bear fruit for your glory. And may the blessings be released from your throne room to your people here today watching. And those that are willing to turn from the world of deception and a life of deception to a life of truth and freedom and power in Jesus' name. Everybody get ready for a communion. You can bring your offering up.